I remember when they would measure up this dime with the coffee and sugar and things like that. It was always around, they'd start it right after lunch, you know, in the early afternoon. And they would empty this, I'd say about 100 pounds of beans. They'd empty it in a number three wash tub. And then they'd dip out and put it in a sack. In a little scoop, they'd have the sack on the scales. And they'd scoop in there and get and just kind of sift them down, you know, until mm-hmm. it came to the amount that they were seeking. Uh-huh. But number three wash tub made it real handy.
Yeah. Lefty, did the men do most of the buying?
No,
when you first started to work there?
Oh, no. Okay. No, women folks bought.
I thought maybe after they got off from work they'd come by there.
Well, a lot of them did, but the women folks draw the checks in the morning and get the groceries and have it prepared.
Uh-huh.
Now, at 11:15 was when the 11:15 whistle would blow. And that was for the lady to put the cornbread in the stove and had it ready at 12 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And then 12 o'clock would blow and they'd come in, but they could be off talking, you know, or something, and be busy at something
and
else. And
man had come home and
wouldn't have any lunch. So that's what they did.
We really depended now, on that 11:15.
But really, we sold, we handled the best things that you could buy. Like over in the men's department, we handled a fine line of clothes. We handled the Stetson hat. Then we handled a cheaper hat. But if a man wore a hat back in that mm-hmm. day, we handled mm-hmm. a Davis hat that was just cheaper than the Stetson.
Mm-hmm.
Then we handled the Nunbush shoes, and the Edgerton was one just under that. Then we handled a line of work shoes, you know, the work shoes mm-hmm. men bought. We handled the test overalls, and Lee was the best overall. It was kind of a knockabout overall. It mm-hmm. was nicer than that old overall, and most of our people wore overalls back in that day.
Mm-hmm.
We handled Era shirts, handled Wimberly ties. I thought I'd never forget all those things that we did handle. I won't think
of it. Well, that's fine. That's good to get those brands down. Well, now, people could charge, couldn't they, at the store?
Oh, yeah. You put them on a ticket, you know, a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to where they had to sign the ticket after they bought it, because some of the people sometime come back and said, well, I didn't get this. They'd forgotten what they got.
Oh,
so they had them to sign the ticket after they bought it. And if they come back and say that, well, they say, is this your handwriting on here?
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to say yes. So then they'd remember buying it. But that was just for us, you
mm-hmm.
know, waiting on those people. And they'd say we charged them with something that probably they didn't get.
Yeah.
They'd just forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Whenever they pay, they'd pay at payday time?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Every 2 weeks would be payday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd pay up.
Now, they could draw, though, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. You could draw checks back in that time. And mm-hmm. then later on, during the Depression, we had a little white horse slip, we called it.
Uh-huh.
And even Mr. O'Hara or Mr. Strauss would have to sign that thing for people to get. And they'd finally go over there and Mr. Nelson would sign that thing for
uh-huh.
Fred
uh-huh.
Nelson.
And that was called a white horse?
White horse, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You get a white horse. That's getting money in advance
uh-huh.
on your wage, see.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that would be taken all out of your payroll when you got it.
Yeah, okay, that's good. During the Depression, did people cut down on their buying very much? Could y'all tell a difference in the store?
Well, I'll tell you what, we just had to, everybody made a living, and that's about all.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't been for the store, though, the company would have had a hard time paying off.
Mm-hmm.
the people come and bought from us. And then that money went right back into the office, see,
mm-hmm.
and that kept the mill running.
Mm-hmm.
But during Depression, that's when the NRA started. And, you know, if it hadn't been the NRA, we would have worked from daylight to dark for a dollar a day. But that helped, you know,
mm-hmm.
In that it caused the companies. Now, our company was fair with as far as I was concerned,
uh-huh.
but we had had people that worked 10 hours.
Yeah.
And they needed some time off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Daylight and dark, just about it, you know.
Yeah.
They needed some time off. So NRA come in, and that allowed us to have certain time off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you had to hire more people?
No, we got along with less people
okay. mm-hmm.
during that time,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't stay open as long as
yeah.
we did. When I started to work, we opened at 7:30 every morning, and we had a noon break, you know. We got our lunch time. Then we'd come back, and about 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock, we'd have a little 30-minute period off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we worked on till 8:30.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our day.
Mm-hmm.
I started to work over there for $60 a month in the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it was 1929, and that's when the Depression started.
Yeah.
And I got cut back to $43 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, but I did get some time off when this NRA come in.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you didn't really work so much an hour. You just had a monthly.
Oh, yeah. It was monthly. A month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't no hour,
yeah.
hourly wage at all
mm-hmm.
as for now at the mill.
Yeah. They worked.
They worked for hourly wage.
Uh-huh.
But we were about a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They first had just a small commissary, didn't they?
That's right. They had a small commissary and the officials of the company met. They were going to build a larger commissary. But Mr. What's his name?
Rutland?
No.
You mean the contractor?
No. Ruth, just hold that a minute.
Okay.
Mr. Ashford was the man that said, we're not just going to build just a larger store. We're going to build a building that will hold everything. And the way they built the building was, and they decided they'd build it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the meat market and the ice house back on the one end. And then on up further, we come to the grocery store. And inside of that grocery store, we had the men's department. And then on over further, we had the ladies' department. Then from the ladies' department over the next one was the drugstore, and then from there on upstairs was the doctor's office, and the land and timber department was up there.
Oh, he was up there too.
And then, well, it was in one department
uh-huh,
up there.
But upstairs.
Then we had the post office at the end of it,
uh-huh.
and I remember the first gas pump I ever saw. It was handled by Mr. Fanton, who was over the post office. He was postmaster, and he handled all that gas pump out
mm-hmm.
there too.
Well, did you? Was that the first gas you ever used?
Oh yeah.
In a car.
Yeah.
You got it there.
Huh? Yeah, 11 cents a gallon.
Oh, that's cheap enough. cheap
yeah.
enough.
Fact is, I didn't have a car right at that time, and it was a good long time before
uh-huh.
I owned a car, but. I remember that gas pump was right at the end of the store
uh-huh.
down there.
Did they deliver?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We had a colored man named Chester Willis. If he'd have gone any higher in the fourth grade, he'd have made $5 million. He made four anyway, you know. I'll tell you about Chess. He had four or five jobs going all the time. He fired the boiler down in under the store back there that furnished heat to that whole building, all of it.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they hauled slabs from the mill down there and threw them out and put them in there. And he fired those boilers. And he had some boys that working for him. That was
mm-hmm.
one of his jobs. Then he was delivery man for the store, you know. I remember loading as many as 107 sacks of feed in one day on that truck, you know. Wagon. He had a team and wagon, and I put 107 sacks of feed on that thing in a day. And we had he had a delivery boy doing that. Chess did. He didn't do the work. He had somebody else doing it for him. Fact is, he's pretty smart. And then he carried the mail from over at the depot. They had a walkway from the store over at the depot. And he handled the mail, and he met the train every day. I have forgotten how many jobs that boy had. He worked for Mr. Rutland around his house over there, too.
He was a chauffeur for Mr. Rutland and Mr. Temple
Did he have a car? One of the first cars, or was he using somebody else's car?
No, he rode Mr. Rutland. He was driving for Mr. Rutland. Mm-hmm. Now later on, Chess got a truck to haul all of these things with. We called it a muley truck. It didn't have no top on it or anything. It had a windshield up there, and it had a big bed behind it.
Uh-huh. Did he work until the store closed down?
Yeah. He stayed there until the store closed down, and then he went with Mr. Arthur Jr.
Flava, what was it like growing up in Dyball when you were a girl?
Well, when I was real young, Dyball was just a small community. Everyone lived kind of in the shadow of the smokestack, you know. We could walk anywhere and just get there real quick. But it wasn't long until Dyball began to grow. And I have seen it grow all these years. And it's just amazing how it has grown, you know, from just more than even one company, you know. And it's just been great. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of civic clubs now, and they're just doing wonders, and Dyball has just been a wonderful place to live and to grow.
When you were very young, they had a Chautauqua that came to town.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well, that was very good. You bought your tickets in advance, and you bought a season ticket that was for maybe a whole week. It would be here, you know, in Dyball a week. And you would buy your ticket, and we would walk from the school over to the Chautauqua. And, we were thrilled to death. The walk over there was fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Chautauqua. It was very educational. And we would march in. We would be seated. It would be in a tent, a big tent. Mm-hmm. And there would be a lecture on health and history and things like that. But there would be some entertainment with it, too. I remember one Chautauqua, a lady would do the buck and wing, you know, and they'd play the violin and the guitar, and then we would have the lecture at the end. Mm-hmm. And then we would all stand up, file out, and march back to school. Mm-hmm. And it was very educational, and it was something really entertaining to look forward to.
Yeah. what was the other recreation y'all had? Did you have very much?
Well, let's see. We had one picture show way back there when I was a child. It was over across the railroad track.
Air Dome.
Air Dome, I believe they called it.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, but what I got a big kick out of was what we call the box suckers. Politics. Politics. It would be election year, and of course we didn't have TV or radio and all. What we would do Well, the politicians would meet in Dieball one night, and each one of them would make a little speech. And then we would each lady would fix a box of food. And most of them had good old fried chicken then, you know.
Yeah. Which,
and the politicians would bid on the boxes, you know. And they'd see somebody that they wanted to, you know, eat with, or she might be a good cook. And,
yeah.
And so they would bid on the box, and then they would get the box and probably eat with the lady or the man or whoever. And that was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't do that anymore, do they?
No. Most is through TV. And
mm-hmm. Well, now, you weren't always just a housewife, were you?
No, I wasn't. The war came, you know, and I was a housewife then, and we decided that I should go to school, you know. And I taken a business course up at Satterwhite's Commercial College. And Lefty, it came his time to go for his physical. And he didn't go. He didn't make the physical.
Yeah.
So I went to school, and I finished. And I went to work for... it was Southern Pine Lumber Company then. And I was secretary to Mr. George Smith, which was a dear, dear person. And I worked for him 15 years. He was a guy that he did everything by the clock. And, you know, things like that, it rubs off on you, and you get to be to where you want to do things on time, you
mm-hmm.
know, and all. And he'd come to the office at the just right on the minute, you know, and he'd leave on time, and he was just a great person.
Mm-hmm. You probably learned quite a bit from him.
Oh, yes. And he was secretary and treasurer to Southern Pine Lumber Company.
Uh-huh.
And we worked with taxes. And then he had quite a bit of correspondence, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he was really a good secretary and treasurer, you know.
Yeah.
He was also... the treasurer of our church, the First Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
and we kept up with that. We mm-hmm. made the bulletin and that.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Well, did you enjoy working in the office?
Oh, I did. I surely did. We would. What I enjoyed a lot was the making of the payroll.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
how did you do that?
They used to pay off. They'd go to town. We didn't have a bank in Dieball. And they would go to the bank in Lufkin and bring the payroll back. Oh, they had the police with them and all. They were really guarded. And we would put the money out on the table. The first thing we would do, we would count each bundle. That had to be counted. And then we around this table, Mr. Lawrence was on one side of the table, and Rhoda Faye Chandler was on the end, and I was next, and then Millie Ruth was next to me. I can't think of her last name. And Mr. Lawrence would count out. He would ever the payroll packages, you know, they were ready. They were made ready, and the amount was on the envelope. And Mr. Lawrence would count out that amount. And so he would lay it on that envelope, pass it to Rhoda Faye, and she would check it. Rhoda Faye would slide it on around the table to me, and I would fold it up and put it in the envelope. And Billy Ruth would seal it up, and there was the money. We would put it in the box alphabetically. Mm-hmm.
What happened if you came out with money?
That's right. Well, I tell you, we just knew better.
Yeah.
We knew better.
Uh-huh. And they paid off in cash then, instead
yes.
of checks.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then Rhoda Faye would sit out a window, and when the men, the employees, would get off, well, they'd come by that window and pick up their
mm-hmm.
pay.
She'd have to know everybody.
Yes. They'd call their name out, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them would. Mm-hmm.
That she didn't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After you quit the office, did you work anywhere else?
Yes, I worked for Bartley Bagging and Shands for just a little while. Because they moved their office to Lufkin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided that I would go in. Lefty had added an annex to our building up there in our store. And I said, well, now that's a good place to have a beauty shop, you know.
Yeah.
Because at that particular time, there was one beauty shop, was one operator. So I went to beauty school. And that take 9 months. And I opened the beauty shop there with Lefty, and the name of my beauty shop was Flavors Beauty Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be good for us. And I stayed there 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother got real ill, and we moved her in the house with us, so I closed the beauty shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a housewife ever since.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Lefty, when you left the store, what did you do?
Well, in 1949, I give notice to the company that I was going to go in business myself. So mm-hmm. I bought a Haskell Shivers and built a little store down at Emporia, we
yeah.
used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought that little store down on the highway. One reason he wanted to sell out there, claimed that there were some convicts out and they was having to sleep down there in the back of that little old store.
Oh.
And it was in the summertime and it was hot and he was ready to get rid of it. Well, I didn't stay down there. I bought it, went down there, and I started out on the shoestring. What I bought, I
yeah.
paid for out of my hip pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I had to get the cash back to put it back in my pocket to pay the next bill that come in. I stayed down there 3 years, and I robbed twice.
Mm.
And I had to go.
At night.
They come
night.
In. I was going to Houston, and they
come
in the back truck in there and got what I had.
Oh.
I remember I bought. I had shotgun shells on consignment, $300 worth, and they got every shell, and I had to pay for all that stuff that's gone. Now then. Though later, I went back into that thing down there,
mm-hmm.
and I did have a good business down there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then I tried to buy that land from Mr. Templeman. They wouldn't sell it to me, so I moved it up to the old Uncle Mickey Sullivan place out
uh-huh.
there. And there, I stayed till I retired in 1962.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what'd you have up there?
I sold everything from a railroad to a rattle trap. I sold everything. But it was groceries first, and then I went into furniture business, and
uh-huh.
furniture and appliance mostly is what I really sold.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I sold a good line of appliance.
Yeah.
And we had a good business up there uh-huh. when I was tired.
Yeah. What about some special black people around?
Oh,
can you,
well,
make,
you
tell
you,
something about
you know,
besides Chess? We've mentioned him.
Well, we mentioned Chester mm-hmm. Willis, and I said he'd have made five, but he made four
yeah.
if he'd have gone to school one more year. But I remember Aunt Cassie. Now, when I went to take my physical for the service.
Uh-huh.
The Army, my blood pressure, I had hypertension. It went sky high while I was there. And they wrote, what did they write on there? Rejected.
Oh, yeah.
They wrote rejected on there. And I come back home, and the people come in there, and they say, well, why didn't you go to the Army? And Aunt Cassie asked me that one time. And I said, they wrote rejected on there, and that meant that if I'd have got into a battle, I'd have run over the whole army behind me. I'd have been so scared. but really, I was rejected on account of hypertension,
mm-hmm.
high blood pressure.
Yeah. What do you remember about Aunt Cassie?
Oh, Aunt Cassie was a character. All the men always gathered around, you know, and she always entertained them with a lot of little words, you know, that that everybody would just die laughing about Aunt Cassie. Now, I remember Aunt Kelly Jackson, and Professor Jackson. Professor Jackson.
He carried the mail.
Oh, yeah, he for the TSE. He carried the mail for the TSE. Now, Chester handled all the mail for the company and put the mail on the train and all.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great attraction here in Diboll, was when the passenger train would go through every day. Well, we didn't have anywhere else to go. We'd go meet the train, see mm-hmm. who was on it.
And stay till the mail was put up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wait till the mail mm-hmm. to be put up.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time we had Shine Ruth, and I'm sure that Jim's already told about the time we carried him upstairs to the...
Mm-hmm. What did Shine do? Did he help y'all out in the store?
No. Now, Shine worked at the mill.
Oh, did he? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And his name was William Ruth, but we called him Shine because he shined.
He was so black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But he was a good fella.
He helped y'all out.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Aunt Callie Jackson was kind of a, what we'd call a midwife.
That's right. She was a midwife.
And she'd go and stay with people when they were sick.
Sick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who was, I remember Professor Jackson. He played either a horn or a trumpet or something.
Trumpet. Uh-huh.
Oh, he'd taken lessons from Harry James.
Yeah, he taught Harry James.
That's right. Uh-huh. Sure, people have mentioned him.
Uh-huh.
You know, one time he told Jake Durham that, and Jake said, "You just wait right here. I'm gonna call." And he called Harry James, and he told him, "Yes, he was the one that taught him."
Uh-huh. So I guess it's really true.
Yeah, it was true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now...
You got your name, Lefty, from playing baseball.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you about baseball. I played 5 years in high school. Back mm-hmm. then, it was before the Interscholastic League, see?
Yeah.
And I played from 1925... through 1929, and that is in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I started off in 7th grade, played on up through 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And
left-handed pitcher.
Oh, I pitched baseball all those years, and I remember even pitching one baseball game here against Timpson, struck out 17, and got beat 2-1. I mean 2-0.
Oh, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. Struck out 17 of them. We had a shortstop that made an error and let two men in, and that was it. Only two runs were scored.
Mm-hmm.
We played a lot of ball around here.
Were you with the old Miller team?
Oh, yeah. I was with mm-hmm. the Miller team mm-hmm. back yonder. Mm-hmm. We played a lot of teams out of Houston. We played the Valley League All-Stars. There was a couple of boys that went up from them the next year. I can remember old Mule Shoe Vaughn, and then there was another boy by the name of Hass that went up the mm-hmm. Texas League. But even back then, they're paying $150 a month potentially. Mm-hmm. Get back what at the top wage in there. It's pretty hard to make a living at that.
Well, did the company kind of sponsor y'all?
Well, they didn't. No, the company didn't sponsor us. We had a team within ourselves, and that was the big attraction back then. Every Sunday we played baseball, and they charged everybody that come in. They charged them, and that kind of taking care of the equipment. Now, we didn't get any money for it.
Yeah, but
we just loved the game. Yeah.